Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com. Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
And good afternoon, this is Dr. Nydia.
And this is Alma.
This is Betty.
And last week we had a little technical difficulties. I couldn't get on the air.
It happens.
It happens, yeah, and there was nobody I could go to really get the help that I needed to get back on. And boy, did I try, but I couldn't get on. So yeah. Hopefully this week we don't get this week. Well, we haven't so far been disconnected. I was like 2 minutes into the introduction when, boom, everything went off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how are you?
Okay.
I'm okay.
Very little tired.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Week is finishing. And starting at the same time, so
yeah. Oh well. So, what's today's topic?
Humility.
What does that mean?
Humildad. Humility. Accept the things as they really are.
Just as they are. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult, you know, to say, well, somebody's dying, I don't want them to die. However, the reality is the reality, whether you like it or not, and that doesn't change just because you don't like it. Right?
Yes.
Humility means literally accepting things just the way they are. And then we talk about people in our lives who are not the way we want them to be. You know, life could be so, so simple, literally simple. No more problems, no more headaches, no more anxiety, depression, none of that. All of that could simply go away if you could just accept things just the way they are. Because things unfold and things happen. And the problem that we have is not that things happen, but that we don't accept. We go into denial and we don't accept and we get hysterical and we start fighting and we start arguing or somebody else starts fighting and arguing and before you know it, you have chaos.
Yes.
If you accept things just the way they are and people just the way they are, then things really start getting simple. Because here's what happened. Somebody told me the other day that his wife, he's been married for 20 years, and that his wife, he has to say yes to her to everything and just, yes, sweetie, and be nice to her, because if not, she gets all bent out of shape and she starts fighting. And I asked him, I said, well, do you like living like that? He said, no, but I have to because. And you could put anything behind that because.
Of course.
You know, in his case, it was, well, we've been together for 20 years, and she does, she cooks good, she's a good lay, she's good to the kids, and blah, blah, blah. And he gave me all kinds of reasons why he had to stay in the relationship. And I tried to explain to him, no, you don't have to stay in the relationship. You choose to stay in the relationship for whatever reasons there are. It doesn't matter the reasons why you're staying, but it's a choice. You chose to stay in the relationship, but you're not accepting your wife just the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because he's always complaining about her. And I said, if you stay in the relationship, then you have to accept her just the way she is. Oh, well, I accept her the way she is. And I said, no, because you complain.
Yeah.
If you accept the person just the way they are, you're not going to complain. Because you made a choice to stay there. Why are you complaining? See?
Yes.
Now, if we're talking about humility and you want humility in your life, then you need to find the woman or the person that is the way you want them to be. Not because you made them that way, but because that's the way they are. See? So in this relationship, they have absolutely nothing. He says, oh, I haven't had sex with her in maybe 15 years. And I'm saying, well, who have you been having sex with? And he says, with everybody else. I said, okay, so you're being unfaithful to your wife. Well, I don't see it that way. See, that's the whole thing. He doesn't see it that way. And a lot of people are like that. You don't see it that way. Well, you know, I'm gonna stay here, but then I'm going to make things. My phone. How did that happen?
That's it.
So, when we accommodate,
mm-hmm.
So we put up with, we let other people be the way they are, even though they're constantly fighting with each other. If you're fighting with somebody, then you're not accepting that person the way they are. There is no humility there. And we're talking about for those people who want to live in humility, who want to live free of depression and anxiety and all that other stuff that, you know, that chaos in our lives. And we threaten. If this continues to happen, I'm going to leave. But you don't. 20 years later, you're still threatening and you're still there. So how do we accept things just the way they are?
How? Stay in the present. And just like that, accepting things. I don't know.
It's really quite simple.
Yes.
Things are always going to be the way they are.
Yes. I agree.
When we start trying to fix things, when we try to understand why don't you love me? Why can't we be together anymore? Why this or why that? Why did the house explode? You know, really doesn't matter why. The why is not important. When we stop looking at the why, when we try to fix, I had somebody the other day that told me that she was in a relationship and that she did everything to try to change so that she could please her man. And he was never satisfied with anything she did. And I said to her, well, haven't you gotten it yet? Did you not get it? He doesn't want to be with you. And you're forcing him to stay there because of whatever reason he has to stay there. But he's not giving you what you want. And you're trying to do everything in your power for him to love you. And he doesn't. You're convenient. You make things like easy for him, but that's not really where he wanted to be. If he wanted to be there, really, really wanted to be there, he'd work with you,
of course,
to make things work out. But that's not, the only reason he's with you is because you give him what he wants. See? Mm-hmm. So when he's hungry, you feed him. When he has to put on clean clothes, you wash his clothes, you iron everything, you cook, you do everything for him. Why should he eat? He's got a built-in maid and a built-in slut. Yeah, when he wants sex, I have to give him. But when I want sex, he doesn't want it, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, hello. Why would he leave if he has everything there? Doesn't want anything with you. He wants you to be his maid and his sex partner for when he needs it. See? So she doesn't understand that that's not what she wants, but she doesn't want to move away from there. She doesn't want to be treated the way he treats her, but yet she stays there. And she keeps trying to, she thinks that she's the problem, and she's not.
Maybe he told her, you know, that way. Because it happened to me. I lived with someone that I told me that the problem was mine, and I believe this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to change, and I tried to, you know, to, and it was a mistake.
Yeah.
I was manipulated. I allowed.
There you go.
This person to manipulate me, and I never find a solution because it wasn't my problem. I only had to decide what, you know, did I want to do.
Well, the thing is also that, you know, looking at that, the other side of the coin,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you get manipulated into thinking that you're the problem, like
yeah.
what happened to you. And that happened to me too. My first marriage was a disaster. But I thought if I cooked better, if I looked better, and I was gorgeous. I was about 21 years old. You know, I weighed 100 pounds. Everything was where it was supposed to be in my body. And but yet, you know, that didn't work out. But then again, I married a crazy person, which he was schizophrenic, and I didn't know that. I thought it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Point being that also there is that other side where we try to fix the other person. The other person fell in love with us just the way we were. And somewhere along the line, our toxic ego went nuts. And so now we're, honey, do you love me?
Yeah.
Do you still love me? You don't tell me you love me. Okay, we have a question, right?
Yes.
Do people change over time, or do they merely begin showing their inner, true inner self? Yes and yes. We all change. Life experiences change us because we don't live in a vacuum, okay? And so, let's see. So the first part of it is, oh, do we change? Yes. Now, when you are, this is one of my other clients, but she's telling me he's not the way he was in the beginning. They're in the relationship now almost 2 years. And now he's showing his true self.
Mm.
See? And he happens to be a bit of a sadist. And, mm-hmm. and she's beginning to notice that he's becoming cruel. And she says to me, well, he wasn't that way before. And I tell her, of course he wasn't that way before because he had to convince you that he was a nice guy. Now he's got you hooked. And now the true self comes out. Because first of all, when you begin a relationship, you begin with chemicals. You know, all that you want to be on top of that person. It's sex all the time and kissing and hugging and touching and talking on the phone and texting. And, you know, it's 24 hours, you and me. And then gradually, when the hormones start cooling down, then your true self comes out. And that true self is what was there originally. You didn't see it, but that person has always been that way. So when you put your first foot, your best foot forward, in the beginning, you're sweet and you're nice and you're kind and you open doors. And you know, a year and a half, 2 years down the road, you know, open your own damn door. See, Now, in when we change, people do change over time because life happens. So as you experience life, you mature, you grow, and of course you have to change. Sometimes for the better, and sometimes not. It depends, you know, what your life experiences are. And then there are people like me who was a horrible, horrible, horrible person when I was drinking and using drugs. I mean, I was really a terrible, terrible person. And yet, something happened. I went into recovery, clicked, and I made the changes. But I chose to change, see? And I made the changes that you see now. A lot of people that know me now say to me, I can never imagine you being cruel.
Yeah.
But I was. I was vicious. I was a horrible, horrible person. But then again, I was working with whatever it was that I had at that time, whatever knowledge, whatever tools I had, the survival. I was like a little animal, you know, trying to survive.
All the resentments and all the, you know,
all the
anger.
Yes. All the anger and resentments and all the crap that I believed, you know, that I made up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't invent any of it. It's just that I took what happened and made it probably worse than it really was, and then blamed.
Yeah.
See, I lived in that cruel, insane world of addiction. And then when I started to recover, I started to learn different things and know that was not the best way to go. For me, it was in my best interest to change. See,
yeah.
I didn't change because I turned out to be a nice person. I changed because what I was doing was not working for me. And so I, for my own survival, I had to make the changes. So when people change, they change because it's in their best interest to do so. You know, people don't change just because they want to be nice people, because I know really, really nice people who can be very cruel when they want to, you know, when the time arises. So people will change when they're ready to change and when they decide it's time to change. Or simply as we mature. You know, when we were 12 years old, we had the mentality of a 12-year-old. You know, I think about this. I've never told anybody this. I grew up in New York, and I lived in a tenement house when I was a child. And I was on the sixth floor, and we used to hang out in our fire escape.
Okay.
You know what a fire escape
yes,
is?
Yes.
They don't have too many of them here in Florida. But in New York, everybody has a fire escape. So when it would snow, for me, I was a child. I was a little small and not very bright. And I would see the snow in the back of the house, in the backyard. And I would say, I wonder if I jump from here, from the sixth floor, from on top of the fire escape.
Mm-hmm.
If I jump, I'll jump into the snow. Whee! And I thought it would be a lot of fun. I never did it. I don't know why I didn't do it, because it never occurred to me not to do it. In other words, I never had the thought of, no, you better not do it because you're going to get killed.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, or paralyzed. That never occurred to me. I thought it would be a lot of fun to jump from the sixth floor into the snow. And I don't know why I didn't do it, but I didn't. And I know, you know, this is what kids, I can understand when children jump out of a window out of a second or third floor story building and break bones because they think that's Superman. See? So, and I think about it now and I say to myself, oh my God, you know, thank you, Lord, for not making me dumb enough to actually do it. Okay, so do you feel that the nice person you are now, the capacity for understanding was always there, just buried for self-protection? It could have been. I'm not sure. I think what happens is that as we mature, we tend to understand things better. I come from a really, really cruel, I should have been a sociopath. A lot of people that come from my background become sociopaths because I came from a background where I was beaten every day and I was yelled at and I was literally tortured. I was burnt and I was tied up and it was horrible. And if that happened, the last time my father hit me, the last day he hit me, he slapped me. And that day I ran away. Never went back. I was 19 years old. So I didn't know how to be nice. I was never taught how to be nice. So I think it's something that I learned. I'm pretty sure it was something that I learned. Because I was vicious. I was cruel. You know, I did unto others that I had been done unto me. And so I think that what happens is that if you're taught to be nice, you know, I learned that I was part of humanity. And if I'm going to be part of humanity, I had to let go of the idea that the world revolved around me. See, I had to understand that I was responsible. See, when I was out there using and crazy and all of that, I blamed everybody. And in my mind, I thought it was okay to blame other people because it was not my fault. So if it's not my fault, it has to be your fault.
Yeah.
See? And I always justified it. And the thing is that I got away with a lot of stuff. People were actually afraid of me, and they let me get away with stuff that I wouldn't let anybody get away with. I really would not let anybody get away with. And yet other people, family members, friends, you know, the people in the street that know me, they were afraid of me and they let me get away with all kinds of crap. See, so now I had to learn that I can't blame somebody for anything that I do, anything that happens. And I have to take responsibility. But that's something that's a process. I didn't just learn it overnight, oh, good, now I'm going to be a good girl. No, I had to learn it. I had to be around people that were good. And they were doing things that was in their best interest. And I didn't want to go, I never really went to jail, but I did, they would put me in mental hospitals. They thought I was crazy, so they put me in psychiatric hospitals or state hospitals. And so I said one day to myself, I don't want to go back there. Going into a mental institution is being stuck. And I would go there and I would stay there for 10 months, a year and a half, 2 years once I was in there. And so I don't want to be there because I'm stuck. That if I go there, I'm not going to do anything else with my life. It's like my life just stopped.
Yeah.
See? And I'm just there in a vacuum doing absolutely nothing because they don't let you do anything. You watch TV all day. And then you go to bed and you take your medications and then the next day you watch TV all day and, you know, it's a vicious circle. You don't really learn anything. You can't go to college. You can't watch the TV show that you want to watch. You have to do what everybody else is doing. And you're herded like cattle. So at some point, I had to start behaving myself so that I wouldn't go back. Because I would threaten people with knives. I would go after them with knives and I would hurt people, really. And so I was crazy. and everybody knew me. Even the cops knew me. Everybody, where I lived, everybody knew me. And at some point I said, I don't want to do that anymore because I have to take responsibility. See, when you have to take responsibility for something and you're learning new things, you're learning how to be respectful of others. When you're learning how you know when what you say can hurt somebody else, then at that point you start developing a conscience, and that's what happened to me. And so the change was gradual, but it happened, and the major part happened almost immediately. See, the stealing. Almost, well, not quite right away, but I had to learn. I went into a store with somebody who didn't steal. And that person said to me, take everything out of your pockets. And I said, well, what pockets? Take them out of your pockets and pay for them. So I had to pay for everything I had. you know, everything.
So you was normal, enter and take.
Yeah, I always walked out with something. I could not walk out of the store without stealing something. See, and I learned because I saw somebody that didn't steal. I had to learn not to lie because people around me were telling the truth. And they said to me, it's better to be in trouble for telling the truth than for telling a lie. Because when you tell the truth, that's it. That's all. You're going to get punished or whatever consequences you have, it's for telling the truth. This is what I did. Okay, so you're going to get consequences for that. But when you lie, you're going to get consequences for what you did and then for what you lied. What you did was you stole something, you hit somebody, you did whatever it was that you did. But then again, now people are not going to trust you. Mm-hmm. See? And so little by little, your world will become nothing because people will be pushing you away. They don't want you around because you're going to hurt them. See, people have the right to say, I don't want you in my life.
Of course.
And there were some people that I wanted to be part of their life. See? And so the change was gradual, but it was important. And it was painful because I was learning something new. It's the process of learning something new. So when you change, when you start having humility and you start saying, I got fired from a job a long time ago because it was in the beginning when I first, I was 10 years in recovery or more, I don't know. But I did something and I really didn't think it was something wrong. I knew it was wrong. But everybody else was doing it. So in my mind, I thought, well, if everybody else is doing it, including the boss, then it's okay if I do it. No. Because then when they wanted to get rid of me, because I was in other areas, I was very honest. And, you know, dishonest people don't want honest people around. So they said to me, they asked me, I said, did you do this? And I said, yeah, I did it. You know, the big bosses. And then I said, yeah, I did it. What's wrong with that? Well, you know, they have zero tolerance for that. But everybody's doing it. Well, but nobody else is. I could have kept my job if I would have said, no, I didn't do it. It doesn't matter whether they believed I did it or not. You know, I could have said, no, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they can't fire me. But I said, I did. Because at that point, you know, that was when I was in transition. And I was, for the most part, telling the truth most of the time. So, you know, it's gradual. It goes in increments. And so little by little, finally, it got to the point where, no, they're, you know, maybe they're, if you ask me if you look fat in a pair of pants, I'll probably try to get out of that and not tell you the truth. But in general, I try to tell the truth simply because it's in my best interest to do so. If I lose you as a friend, well, I lost you as a friend, then you were never my friend. See?
Uh-huh.
And so it's a matter of with humility, you actually are accepting whatever it is just as it is. Transition, that's a great word. Oh, okay. When you're humble, learning to be humble means that you sacrifice the idea that everybody will love you. See? Because a lot of people are living in denial, and they're in their minds, they're telling the truth like I was when I was crazy. But in reality, I wasn't telling the truth. See? To thine own self be true. And when you're in denial about your life, of course, you're going to lie about everything, because you're living in a fantasy world. And so whatever you say is the truth to you, but not necessarily the truth for real. Did I confuse?
No.
Okay. So we have to stop trying to fix. First of all, stay in the present. Second of all, stop getting into people's lives. There's an expression called an acronym, M as in Mary, Y, M-Y-O, B as in baby. M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. All in caps. All in capital letters.
Okay.
Okay? M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. We think that we can tell other people what they should do. We think that we have the right to decide for other people what they should be doing in their life. Oh, that person is not good enough for you. You shouldn't be within that relationship. You shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that, or you, why are you wearing that dress? Why is your hair so long? Why is your hair so short? You're getting too fat. You're too skinny. You know I'm worried about you because you look like you've lost 10 pounds. So what if I lost 10 pounds? None of your business. See?
Yes.
Even with my kids, even with my ex, with any family member, the only thing that I have to concern myself with is myself. See? I don't have to concern myself with, my daughter was just diagnosed with, they think she has cancer. And I said to her, are you still smoking? And she said, no. She said, yes. Besides, they told me it was in my uterus. That doesn't have anything to do with smoking. And I'm saying to myself, really? But then I said, shut up. She thinks it has nothing to do with it. She wants to continue smoking. Let the doctor tell her. See?
Anyway, she's going to do whatever she
wants. She's going to continue smoking anyway. She doesn't understand that, you know, that goes through her body. Doesn't necessarily mean, just because it's not in your lungs doesn't mean that. I had a client once that had a really, really bad smoker's cough. And I said to her, and she said, I can't breathe. She had problems with her lungs. And I said, are you still smoking? And she said to me, they said, yes, but that cigarette has nothing to do with this. I said, really? What does your doctor say? She didn't answer that question. Thing is that you have to learn how to let other people make their own mistakes. Because when you get in there and you start manipulating other people, they're going to do what you told them they should do. See? And then if things go wrong, guess who they blame?
You.
You told me to do it this way. Well, in the final analysis, it doesn't matter who told you to do what way. You're the one that makes the final decision. See?
Yes.
And humility means accepting any decision you make. And if you make a mistake, what's the big deal? You have an opportunity to grow. You have an opportunity to learn something new. Okay? Taking responsibility for ourselves is a full-time job. That's right. Taking responsibility. You know how many people don't understand that? Living your life is a full-time and a half job. See? You don't have time to do anything else when you're actually taking responsibility in your life. It's a matter of what is it that you're doing. But yet we're looking at other people. We're trying to fix them. You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it doesn't fit. And then we have this depression because I'll tell you, Alma, look, you're a nice girl, and I know you have a beautiful voice and you sing really beautiful, but you know what? The truth is, you need to get yourself a real job, okay?
Yes.
You need to stop this little gig at the club once a week. Not enough for you to pay your expenses up. Okay, you have this expense and that expense and the other expense, and I'm sure you don't make enough money there. You have to get yourself a real job. Okay, so now Alma knows, and she gets herself a real job because she's listening to me. And so now she doesn't have to have a time to prepare for to doing what her passion is. Her passion is to sing. And so now Alma is starting to wither away. right? Mm-hmm. And so now she's getting sad because now she can't sing the way she used to, because, you know, she can't go out and go on jobs because there is just no time. I'm so tired all the time. I'm working at a job that I hate, blah, 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 the whole story. And then what happens? What would happen?
I would feel miserable.
You would be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You would wither away.
Yeah.
Right? And then guess who you're going to blame?
You, of course.
Of course, you're going to blame me because I talked you into doing that. That's
yeah,
not
but,
what you wanted
but,
to do.
But it's not your responsibility. You told me that, but I wanted to do it. And
that's correct.
To do it.
That's correct. But the average person doesn't
yeah,
do that.
Of the people, yeah.
You would, first of all, you wouldn't go looking for another job. Okay? Second, I mean, not the kind of job where you would have to dedicate all your time to do that. And second of all, if you did, you know you would take responsibility. But the average person doesn't do that.
Yes.
The average person will blame somebody else. I studied medicine because my parents wanted me to be a doctor, but I hate being a doctor. And then they quit their job and they go out on a farm and become farmers. But the point is that a lot of people are doing what their parents wanted them to do, not what they wanted to do. See? And it's important for us to recognize that when you have humility, you accept things just the way they are. Now, let's talk about our spouses. If you're in a relationship with a person, man or woman, or woman or woman, man or man, doesn't matter. You're in a relationship with another person, and that person is not the person you really wanted, but you're putting up with this person. And we're saying, I hate this person. He's such a pain in the butt. He's this, he's that, he's a, she's a dad. And you're complaining all the time about that person because that person really isn't the one you wanted, but you're settling.
Mm-hmm.
See? You're settling for this person because now maybe, you know, I'm not going to find someone I really care about. So now you're doing a lot of things that you really shouldn't be doing, like having extramarital relationships outside of your marriage or who knows what. I know women who have become prostitutes. Yeah. And they go and they go to the country club and they're prostitutes, or they go to a hotel in Manhattan or, you know, the next town over or whatever. And while their husbands are at work, they're making money having sex. See? And of course they're doing it quietly because they're in a miserable relationship. That's not where they want to be. But, you know, they want the comforts of whatever it is that they think they have. And they're not happy.
Yeah.
And so now they're popping Valiums and all kinds of antidepressants and tranquilizers and all kinds of stuff. And where's the humility? And we're controlling other people. We're telling other people what to do because we don't accept them just the way they are. Look at your kids. The worst thing you can tell your child is what's wrong with you. Do you know how detrimental that is? Because you're telling the child that there's something wrong with them, and they don't know what it is. And apparently you don't either because you're asking the question. That is a horrible, horrible thing to tell your children, because we tell them all the time, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're stupid. What's wrong with you? So when you through the years, you grow up now thinking there's something wrong with you. That's shame. John Bradshaw talks a lot about shame. And we don't realize that we're creating that base of shame for our children. And then they grow up with inferiority complex.
Yes.
Right? Thinking there's something wrong with them. Or superiority complex.
Yes.
just worse. Knowing there's something wrong with them, but they can't let anybody know that there's something wrong with them. Same thing. Either one is the same exact thing. And then their psychiatrist probably isn't even born when you're telling them all these things. You know, and we grow up feeling inferior, feeling that less than. See? Feeling that something is wrong with us. We say we love our children, but then we really mess them up that way. Why can't we just allow our children to be the way they are? Each child is different. And we don't nurture that. See, I used to think my father denied me. He should have been taught me how to be nice. He should have taught me how to, you know, how to discover my gifts and my talents and my whatever, you know, when I was out there crazy. I thought it was his fault. And then one day I said, well, why don't I figure that out for myself? See? And I did. I think I'm happy. See, we try to make things work that because we don't allow them to be the way they are. Let things happen. But take 24 hours of your day once, just one day, and don't have an opinion. Don't have an opinion. Don't ask yourself how you can make something better. No, just it is what it is. See, I was told the other day, I'm a professor at a university, and I was told the other day that they were not going to renew my contract. Mm-hmm. Okay? And my boss probably thought, the dean, she thought that I was going to be upset. And I said, okay. But she started telling me, she said, well, you know, I've been trying to see, blah, blah, blah. The program that I'm in, you know, there's not a lot of people in it. And I'm, you know, it's not that I love my job. I really do, and I love my students and whatnot. But things are changing, you know, and I'm 72 years old and I'm tired. So I'm not up to date the way I really should be. And plus, there's a lot of issues involved. Okay? And so she started, well, you know, we're trying and I'm trying to really do it, but there are changes coming up and blah, blah, blah. And it's difficult. And I said, what are you trying to say? You're going to fire me? And she said, well, no, I'm not going to fire you, but I'm going to have you become an adjunct professor. And I said, okay. Just like that. I thought, okay. And I could see she was very uncomfortable with me being comfortable. I could see it. It was, you know, like, now what do I say? I think she expected me to sort of start crying or blame or say something. I don't know what she expected, but I know that she had a whole bunch of other stuff to tell me, which was now not necessary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I said, okay. And finally I said to her, listen, it is what it is.
Yeah, she was trying to convince you that she was doing the right thing. And you didn't need that.
No, I didn't need all of that reassurance. Because I'm comfortable in my own skin. It's okay. Now I just have to have a plan B. And I always have a plan B.
You have a lot of B's and C's and D's.
And
plans
is something you have a lot. Yes. Okay, so let's see. Another, I grew up with an overbearing, bullying stepfather. I think that for some reason he felt threatened by my presence. Could be. Because marrying into an already built family can be threatening to the new partner. People don't know how to handle things. People don't know how to handle other children, other people's children. You know, and who knows why, but
maybe they feel they don't have the control, because when adults, when with children, is controlled by life.
They want to control their life, but these are now strangers that they have to become family, that are now family, and a lot of people just don't know how to handle it, you know, regardless of what people say, I love you, but, you know, I'm very wary of that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loves your mother, but not necessarily the kids. That happens all the time. But yeah, when we have people that are bullies, and I have family members that are big time bullies, and I've just dismissed them. I just pushed them out of my life. And I'm talking about people that I love dearly, but I can't have them around me. They yell at me when they want to. They call me names. They call, you know, and they tell me to shut up. Like, hello, I'm 72 years old. You're younger than me. You're telling me to shut up? What? Gee. You know, and so, I mean, these people are in our lives, but they don't have to be. See, the beauty is that we choose who we allow into our lives. And I'm not talking about people that are still living. My father's not living. My mother's not living anymore. But they're not in my life. And what happens is that when things happen with our parents, we're blaming them forever. And we don't know how to say, you know what? You were my parents. You're no longer my parents. You've gone to a better place. Now I have to get you out of my head. See? We have to get these people out of our head. Because if not, they're with us all the time.
Yeah.
When you're constantly saying, oh, my father used to say, oh, my mother used to say, oh, my uncle used to say, get them out of your head. Doesn't matter what they used to say. See? Not important. If they told you, they taught you something that allowed you to grow, keep them there. But at a far distance. See? Keep them warm in your heart. But stop bringing people that are no longer part of your life into your daily life. Because if we don't eat something, oh, I can't eat cake because my mother used to tell me that I'm going to get fatter, whatever, right? Eat cake and enjoy it. We feel guilty when we do something. If I eat cake, I'm going to feel guilty because what? Because somebody told us when we were very young that we shouldn't eat in excess, or we shouldn't have sex, or we shouldn't have this, or we shouldn't have that. You know, to me, when I was growing up, sex was taboo. We weren't allowed to even mention the word without getting hurt. See? And so now you're grown up, and now somebody mentions the word sex, and you go, and you get all dumb, you know, like, hello, you're 3 years old again. No, get these people out of your head. You get them out of your life, you get them out of your head. You don't have to keep thinking about them. See, I don't think about the people that yelled at me because they're no longer in my life. And they will stay out of my life until they can prove to me that they're not going to yell at me again, and they're going to respect me. And that's not easy to do. Just because you say I'm not going to yell at you anymore doesn't mean that I'm going to allow you back into my life. See, I have a lot of people that have told me, gee, I'm very sorry, and I'm not going to yell at you again. I promise it will never happen again. I know it's not going to happen again because I'm not giving you the opportunity. See, just recently, somebody a long time ago, maybe a year and a half ago, this person yelled at me. I mean, yelled. I mean, this person just went off on me. And all because I asked a question. And she just probably was PMSing or something. And so I told her, I said, no, I have a zero tolerance for yelling. I'm done with you. And then the other day, she did something that was extraordinary. She stood up for me. When nobody else did.
Yeah?
Yeah, she stood up for me. And it demonstrated to me that she was sincere. Somehow talking to her again. But, you know, she had to really do something really, really extraordinary for me to understand that it was, you know, okay to talk to her again. So, I like ice cream, but I don't care for chocolate. Oh, man, I love chocolate ice cream. So, I choose not to eat that flavor, my choice. That is correct. That is correct. Now, my favorite is chocolate. And here's what happens. This is a good example of something that happens. Because, what's your name?
Profundity. You like ice cream, but you don't care for chocolate ice cream, so you choose not to eat the chocolate ice cream. So now I could, and this is not for real, this is just an example. I could say, well, you don't like chocolate ice cream, then you can't be my friend. It happens all the time. I have people who don't talk to me because they got mad at somebody that I talk to. Hey,
yeah.
I was friends with this couple, these two girls that were very, very close. And then they broke up. And so I still talk to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one found out that I'm talking to the other one. And now she doesn't talk to me. She's mad at me because I talk to her ex-partner. You know, that makes absolutely no sense at all. Because one thing has nothing to do with the other. This is variety. I mean, just because I like chocolate doesn't mean that I'm going to not like people who don't like chocolate. See, it doesn't make any sense to have the attitude that, you know, everything has to be exclusive. You're my friend, and if you're my friend, you can't be somebody else's friend. So if I like chocolate and you don't like chocolate, you can't be my friend. It makes no sense. See? And yet, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. My daughter talks to everybody in my family that I don't talk to. Because just because I don't talk to you doesn't mean my daughter can't talk to you. I mean, one thing has nothing to do with the other. See? And it happens all the time. So humility means staying out of other people's lives. Don't always try to understand other people. You don't have to understand them. If you love them, you love them. You can't allow other people to abuse you or mistreat you. You know, at that point, you have to make a decision if you really want that person in your life or not. But just because somebody's different doesn't mean that you have to try to understand them or try to change to be what they want you to be. You have to be yourself. You have to be yourself. You can't be trying to always please people. How many people pleasers do we know? See?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. 99% of the people are people pleasers. Just look, how many people want to help you? Here, let me do that for you.
Yeah.
Here, let me fix it. People take things out of my hand to do it themselves when I'm capable of doing things for myself. I hide in my office at work. I work in a clinic too. And so I go to the clinic because everybody wants to help me. Everybody, here, let me straighten out those papers for you. I'm left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
The most aggravating and exasperating thing that people do is they give me a paper to sign and they turn it the wrong way. They turn it as if I were right-handed. And I'm left-handed and I have to turn my paper 180 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I have to turn it sideways.
Yeah.
So that I can sign it.
Yeah.
And so, I turn it the way I need to turn it so that I can sign it, and they'll immediately turn it back the other way. And it's like, and it's like, I'm moving it this way, and they're moving it that way, and I'm moving it, and finally, I just leave it alone. And then they say, well, sign it. I'm trying to sign it, but you got to leave the paper alone for me to sign it. See, they don't understand. I'm left-handed. I know how to put the paper for myself. But in their mind, they're trying to fix the paper so that it's easier for me to sign it.
Yeah.
And they're making it impossible. Oh, my goodness. What time is it?
5 minutes.
Okay, so I'm Dr. Nidia.
I just want to remind you the book,
Letting Go of Resistance.
It's on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and all the digital libraries. and from Dr. Media. It's a wonderful book and tools for your life, for to live a better and harmoniosa vida.
Harmonious
life. His hand, left-handed too.
She's left-handed. Yeah, so you understand. That's the way, that's the way people are. They want to fix everything.
So we're going to leave you with how can anyone ever tell you.
And I want to say goodbye to Profundity. Profundity. Profundity.
We'll see you next Sunday at 3 and Fridays in Spanish at 2:30. Thank you and have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye. Sorry if I mispronounced your name.